It's one thing to just listen, but it's another thing to actually take note of what's being said and putting it into action. And that's something I would definitely say that Gorgeous is phenomenal at. And it's a reason that we're continuously growing the rate we are.
Customer Satisfaction Project.
A place where we explore how business leaders are pushing the boundaries,
providing exceptional customer service,
growing high-performing support teams, and having a blast along the way.
Together with SimpleSat co-founder and CEO, Corey Brown.
Join with our head of marketing,
Nash Maiwala. Let's get right to it. Before we continue, let's take a quick break with a word from our sponsor. You know what they say about what gets measured gets managed, right? But are you actually getting the right information to measure? Are you getting to the pulse of your customer satisfaction with your service? Are you finding it hard to get your customers to tell you what they really feel about your company? Enter SimpleSat, the customer feedback system that works. Delight your customers into leaving you an accurate feedback, catch them at the right place and at the right time, and get an accurate feedback loop. Measure, manage, then elevate your customer's experience so they're never not satisfied. To learn more, check out simplesat.io to get your free 14-day trial. Again, that's simplesat.io.
My name is Chris Lavoie. I'm the technical partner manager at Gorgeous, which is a customer support help desk built for e-commerce merchants. And so my role with Gorgeous is to maintain the relationships that we have with our partners on the technical side of things. So those would be our app integration partners, like the Klaviyos and Yotpos of the world. And really, my role involves two major features. One is on the technical side, making sure that partners can build into us to build new integrations, but also for the existing integration partners we have, making sure that we're continuously improving those products, working alongside my product team and their product team to see if there's any updates we can do. That's on the technical side of things. And then on the business development side of things, I'm very active in hosting webinars, marketing initiatives to really promote both us within our partners' ecosystems, but also promoting them within our own ecosystem to really connect our customers with one another if it's a great fit. So that's really my role is on the product side of things, making sure our product continues to improve via integrations with other app partners in the space, and then also educating our team on the integrations that we do have so our customers can continue to adopt them.
Awesome. And I know that Gorgeous is big on customer service, really giving clients deep customer satisfaction. Now, how does this translate to your day-to-day work and day-to-day decision-making?
Yeah, so you said it. Our bread and butter is helping merchants in the e-commerce world deliver stellar customer experiences to their customers. And so just like we're trying to enable merchants to make their customers happy, we're also trying to make our customers happy, which are the merchants themselves. And so everything we do is designed at improving our product to give merchants functionality they need to connect with their customers across all channels. So we consider ourselves an omni-channel help desk, which means you can reach out and answer questions from your customers on email, phone, text, live chat, all your social channels like Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, etc. Really, our goal is to make sure that there's no avenue that customers want to talk with you that we can't make it accessible for you to do so. And our tools like automation, machine learning, our auto tagging, our macros are all designed to help merchants achieve a fine balance between automation, obviously answering questions as accurately and as fast as possible, but also balancing that with personalization. Because that's one thing that we're seeing a trend in is yes, all these amazing tools are being built to facilitate automation, but you definitely don't want to lose that level of personalization that customers really love when you can demonstrate that you really understand them. That's ultimately the goal for just on a day-to-day basis.
Now, one question is that I want to understand, what is Gorgeous's philosophy in customer service? Like, what does that mean to you guys as a company? And what does that mean to you personally?
Yeah, great question. So from a company standpoint, customer service to us is everything. So we measure NPS for our merchants themselves and how they view us as a company enabling them. And obviously, we enable our merchants to assess their NPS for their customers themselves. And so we take it incredibly seriously. It's one of our main company mandates, obviously. And really the way that we view it holistically is that we don't ever want customer service to be a reason that one of our merchants' customers didn't shop with them. And we never want our customers to feel like they don't get stellar customer support from us as a reason why they're not going to work with us. So how we view it really is that we're continuously educating ourselves by customer feedback. So we meet with our merchants all the time, and we're conducting quarterly business reviews. And often a lot more times, we're interviewing them more frequently than that. And we're always looking for feedback from them on how we can improve our service offering to make it easier for them to deliver customer service. And then for me personally, how I view it, I've always been someone who cares deeply for others. And it sounds super cheesy, but for me, I'm all about enabling others to, you know, reach their full potential. And so I think customer service ties really nicely into that, in the sense that in the world we live in now, you don't see the people necessarily, your shoppers, you don't really see them like you do in a storefront brick and mortar. And so it goes a long way to really make people feel like you're listening to them, you understand them. And that's really the mandate of Gorgeous, is let's give our merchants the information they need and the ability to take action to make their customers feel like they're a valued member of their community. And we treat our merchants the same way. We want them to feel like they're a part of our community. And things like integrations, like we have this product portal we use where people can submit requests for new features and new integrations, and we take that very seriously. It literally drives our business decisions, right? So we're not just in a boardroom trying to think of random things that make sense for our company. We're driven by the needs of our customers. And I think that speaks volumes.
Now, I'm curious because like just very recently, I think you guys just closed, was it Series B funding?
Yeah.
When you guys closed that, did it affect the decisions, like day-to-day decisions, most especially because I feel like once a company gets to that point, the mindset or the priority shifts because it's more about, okay, how can we make this profitable? Because I see this a lot. Like initially when the founder starts a company, the founder is super passionate and like really strong ethos and, you know, like really like serving to customers and stuff. But when it gets to like Series B or gets to that point, I just feel like the fire or the main driver of the founder and starting that company gets watered down, most especially in terms of like day-to-day, like handling customer service. So I'm curious if that affected or did it not? Or
yeah, that's a great question. So I'll unpack it two ways. So the first question, just how has the Series B impacted us as a whole? And then I can speak to our founder and how he fits in and how he's handled it. So yeah, we closed the Series B in December, which was fantastic. And really the goal with this new funding is to expand our team. So we were at about 100 employees at the end of 2020, and we plan on reaching 200 employees by the end of 2021. And really these additional resources that we'll have will be dedicated across all of our major teams. So we're going to expand our engineering team to make sure that we can both support all of the features and integrations that we already have within our infrastructure, but obviously building out new integrations internally. That will be super important for our merchants. Expanding our product team to enhance the UI and UX for our customers is a huge goal this year. We ourselves as a customer support help desk have our own big support team as well, which they're phenomenal. So we need to make sure that they're appropriately staffed to serve our merchants, which we just went from 24/5 to 24/7. So that's really important for them. And then on the business development side, you know, we have partner managers, you know, spread across the globe now, making sure that we're continuously leveraging and tapping into all of the partnership ecosystems. So the Shopify, Magento, BigCommerce ecosystem, agencies, VCs, tech partners, we're really not leaving any stone unturned in that regard. So that's kind of what we're you know, planning on doing with the funding, is expanding our roster to make sure that we're tapping into all of these different avenues, which is great for our merchants because now we can invest heavily in our product even more than we already were. So this is just great for everybody, both our customers and then their customers as well. In terms of our founders, I definitely want to take a moment to speak on them, because for me, that was a huge attraction to joining Gorgeous, was meeting with the founders. So everybody at Gorgeous, up until this point at least, has to go all the way into a founder interview before you're actually offered a position. So I was able to meet with both our CTO, Alex Plougaroo, who is our CTO, and then Romain Lapierre, who is our CEO. So for me, it was tremendous to see how hungry and ambitious they are. They started this company in 2015. We started, you know, very humble beginnings, just trying to scrape together 10 merchants to work with us. And now at the 5,000 plus mark, just closed our Series B. Obviously, there's a great sense of accomplishment, and we're certainly proud of how far we have come. But at the same time, our founders are incredibly motivated. They have complete control and oversight on everything that's happening from the ground up. They understand what motivates everybody in our company. And I feel like that's super rare. So it doesn't matter what level you're at on the hierarchy in terms of career progression or what team you're on or where you're on the world. They have, you know, a pulse at least on everybody. We have a weekly big rocks, we call it, which is a 30-minute meeting company-wide. Everybody shows up. Every team presents like for 2 to 3 minutes, just like what's the big, you know, where are things at, say, on a revenue side of thing, and what are some big projects or noteworthy things? And they take time every single week for a new hire to introduce themselves, right? And obviously, we're growing. We're close to 150, so that won't be able to continue forever. But at the very least, it's something that we do now. So I'll say that obviously things change. When you're a CEO and a founder of a company of 10 versus 100 versus 1,000, obviously things change in how you operate. But from everything I've seen so far, our founders are super adaptable. And you know, he says it all the time. He's like, we've been a great company until 100 employees, but you know, we need to learn how to be a great company at 200 employees. And so they take that seriously. We're on the verge of hiring a chief people officer, for instance, who will be make it a lot easier to make sure that everybody's happy across the company. So yeah, lots to say. I could keep going on about it for a while, but suffice to say that we're all very, very grateful for who's leading the ship.
Now I'm really understanding with the culture that they're trying to cultivate within Gorgeous. And
yeah,
that's probably the reason why like you have this solid culture. And then also it translates to like how the employees actually treat the company's customers.
Exactly. Absolutely. Yeah, it's a trickle-down effect. They put such a premium on how we feel as employees and also how our merchants feel. And that trickles down and it shows itself in our product and how it's designed. It's designed to with the end user in mind, which is obviously the consumer. And so everything is designed to give our merchants all the information they need, all the actionable, tangible items that they can do to make those customers happy. So yeah, it's definitely they're walking the walk, so to speak.
I have a two-part question. One, if I'm in a SaaS company, what would Gorgeous recommend to improve your customer service? And two, if I'm a shop owner, what would you recommend? Because all of your customers, you know, are these e-commerce shop owners. What are some good examples of them providing good service?
Yeah, so good question. So on that, if you're just a SaaS company and you're looking to improve the customer service you use, you could end up using Gorgeous, for instance. We're largely a D2C type platform, but we do have a handful of companies that we work with in a B2B sense that are using some of our app partners, in fact, are using Gorgeous to power their customer support because it's pretty straightforward to do. So that's one option. But ultimately, just invest in having somebody dedicated in your company. Even if you're at a small starting point, you're less than 50 employees, you should definitely have someone, at least in the HR department, that is devoted to making sure that you're treating your employees appropriately, but you're also treating your customers appropriately. So, you know, we have a head of success at our team, Natalia, who's fantastic. You know, her main mission is to make sure that our merchants, our customers are happy. So I feel like every SaaS company should have someone like that in the head of success who her KPIs, she's being measured by how happy our customers are and how the retention with us. So having someone dedicated in that role holds them accountable to make sure that you're going to achieve that. And then your second question on merchants. So a great example of a merchant that we work with is Hello Tushy. They're a bidet company based in the US. And just, I mean, if you go on their website, you'll immediately fall in love with this company. And
I've seen it. Yeah.
It's fantastic. Their branding is just phenomenal. And they have all these cool things like they call their agents purus instead of gurus, and they're buddies with each other, they say. So they have fantastic brand. They're led by this lady, Ren, who's their director of customer experience. And this goes back to my previous point. You need to have someone dedicated in that role. This can't be managed by someone who has no business managing customer success or customer experience if they don't have that experience. So Ren is a perfect example of a merchant of ours who has a dedicated person as the head of customer experience. She's phenomenal. And what they really do well in terms of leveraging Gorgeous to power their customer support is that perfect balance of automation and personalization. So they automate a lot, obviously, up to say 20% of all incoming tickets, which is great because it frees up important bandwidth for your support agents to go focus on more pressing issues. But they also are maintaining that level of personalization that their customers have come to love about them to make sure that they're feeling understood, they're feeling valued. So I encourage people to check them out. Another great brand is Olipop. Olipop, a soda beverage company in California. Their branding is great. Their messaging is great, but they're also the way they leverage customer support and approach it. They make it, you know, not a nice to have, but it's like, no, this is at the front of the line in terms of if we're going to be successful or not. And so those are two brands that really come to mind for me.
Thank you. That's awesome.
I like what you said about the perfect balance of automation and personalization. This is so true. And this is, again, like a common thing that we have learned as well so far with the interviews that we've done with help desk buttons, Corey, right? Like she,
right.
Elle was saying something about automate everything that you can automate so that you can really be present in this human interaction aspect. So I'm curious now, because you handle a lot of clients or a lot of customers, how do you guys ensure that? How does Gorgeous ensure that, like, you're still able to do this? Like, that, look, is there any metric that you use, or like, can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So we're super data driven at Gorgeous. One of our internal mandates or mantras is decide fast using data. And so we leverage data all the time, every single day. We have these amazing dashboards. We literally have an ops team that is just completely dedicated to building dashboards, building these processes to track all the data across all of our different tools that we use, like Segment, HubSpot, et cetera. And so one of the main metrics we obviously use to measure our customers' happiness level, essentially, is our NPS score, our Net Promoter Score, which is essentially, you send a, for those who aren't familiar, you send a survey, it's out of 10, and it's how happy are they out of 10, and the higher it is, obviously, the better your NPS is and the happier your customers are. So we're continuously running these surveys with our merchants. It's one of our company main dashboards. Is there's only a few things that we put on that main dashboard, and NPS of our merchants is one of the big ones that we do track. And we report it every single week at our Big Rocks meeting that I mentioned, our company-wide meeting. So literally every week, our CEO will talk about the NPS of our merchants. That's how seriously we take it. And so when it's, if it's lower than it should be, then it's like everybody is like across all teams. It's like, what can we be doing? So we try to have a NPS KPI across all of our team. I guess the best way to say it is that everybody has ownership and is expected to contribute towards NPS. Obviously, we all have revenue-related KPIs like other SaaS company, but for us specifically, the NPS, the customer satisfaction of our merchants, is baked into all of our job descriptions, essentially, right? Which makes it easy to improve our NPS because everybody has ownership in it.
Awesome. Thank you. So I didn't really get to ask this question earlier, but for those who don't know about Gorgeous, can you tell them, share them, like, what does Gorgeous do and Gorgeous philosophy about customer satisfaction? I've asked this question a bit, but like, I want to dig deep into that.
Sure. So yeah, for those who aren't familiar with Gorgeous, we're a customer support help desk built specifically for e-commerce merchants. So back in 2015, our founders, they saw that Shopify was emerging. And they identified that there really wasn't a great tool for managing customer support. At the time, certainly people would just be handling it ad hoc in a disparate way with, say, Gmail. You know, people are just so excited to get a shop up and running on Shopify, get some traction. And they didn't care if they had to spend 5 hours on email overnight to answer questions. They were just happy to have that money coming in. And obviously, as Shopify blew up and businesses started to blow up on top of Shopify, it became clear that the way people were managing customer support just wasn't going to be sufficient. And so our founders saw an opportunity to develop this help desk, which essentially, as I mentioned earlier, any channel that, or any avenue that customers have want to reach out to you by for any reason, we want to make sure that that's all pulled into a single standardized dashboard, which is what Gorgeous is. And so if a customer calls you, a customer emails you, they message you on live chat, they comment on one of your Instagram posts on your official account, any way that they want to reach out, it's going to pull that messaging in, standardize it in a view within Gorgeous. It'll look just kind of like a text messaging conversation. And on the right side, we have their customer profiles that have all their Shopify related information, like their order history. So if a customer reaches out and says, hey, like, where's my order? Then we have these macros, which are just canned responses. And I could click one for where's my order? And it would deliver this personalized message that I already customized. And then we'd have some Shopify variables baked into it, which would essentially just autofill the response. And we can actually automate these. And so someone say, where's my order? Our machine learning could detect that question. It would populate a response that we would could customize to make it a little bit more personalized. And then it would bring in all that Shopify information and then just send the response back. So in essence, we're making it easy for you to answer your customers' questions across all channels for any question that they're going to ask. And we have, you know, these macros and automation rules that make it super easy to do so. So we started on Shopify. That's where most of our customers are today, but we're just starting to penetrate into the BigCommerce and Magento. To answer the question on the philosophy, really what we do is we listen to our customers. So we did this huge ticket analysis survey in Q3, where we analyzed over 10,000 different tickets with the permission of our customers to do so. And ultimately, we learned a lot from that. So we now understand what customers are most often asking about. Obviously, a lot of them are related to their order status. And so we took that information and now it's like, okay, we had this product roadmap. Let's scrap some of them because they clearly don't seem to move the needle for our customers. And let's now double down on these areas that were identified by our customers to be really important, right? So the agility to pivot because of this research that we did, you know, has really helped us, you know, move in the right direction. And we're continuously doing that.
I'm so amazed. podcast is produced by PodcastMate. PodcastMate produces podcasts for iconic brands and market leaders. PodcastMate makes your podcast production an easy breezy journey. They do the heavy lifting for you, so you don't have to. All you gotta do is press record. Talk about peace of mind and relief. Check them out at podcastmate.co. Again, that's podcastmate.co.
So one question, so you're big on building your community, and it seems like having a strong community is almost like a holy grail for almost kind of any type of business. And it's easy to say, build a community, but honestly, I mean, SimpleSat's community is our customers. Like, we don't have like a community. So like, what would your advice be, or how does one go about like setting up a community that actually delivers value and actually makes sense for everybody?
Yeah, that's a great question. The community, it's difficult to achieve, certainly now in the digital age. It's how do you bring people together and actually have those like tangible, you know, relationships. So one of the ways that we've done that is through events and webinars. And so back when we could do live events, we would host a ton of them. We would participate in a ton of them. We would go to these expos and these retailer conventions and literally just meet with people and try to meet as many merchants as possible, even if they didn't end up signing on with Gorgeous. Just getting our name out there, showing people that we're here, we have boots on the ground, so to speak, before COVID. And we're here to listen, and we really want to learn about you and how you run your business. And that obviously is super valuable information for us to help grow our business. And so I think from that perspective, connecting with people across all your channels. And so these webinars we do, so we host webinars every month, you know, usually 500 people sign up, and we'll have about a few hundred people actually show up, and we have super engaging chat. We're designing these webinars to add value to them. And so we're always getting feedback for our customers. What kind of webinars would you like to see? What kind of partners would you like to see join these webinars? And so we're always focusing on the customer's value and what they want to see, the merchants themselves. So the webinars have been huge. We obviously have some classic social Facebook communities, et cetera. On the developer side and the partnership side, we have, you know, a developer community that we're building as well. So essentially just making yourself accessible, having people dedicated to connecting with your audience. Right. So we have, you know, as a company, we have most people aren't necessarily customer facing or outwardly facing. They're focusing on our front end and our back end. But we have a lot of people dedicated to being champions of the company on the partnership level. So doing these events, connecting with customers, that's really allowed us to have this community effect. Or, you know, things like a newsletter. So we send a weekly newsletter. And again, we're continuously modifying that newsletter to make sure that the messaging is right. It's actually adding value. It's not just this spammy marketing play. It's like, no, we're listening to you. We know what you want to hear about. Here are some events. Here are some interesting case studies that we've put together. Here are some new data that we have. Here's some product features. That cadence is key as well in building that community with your customers. So now, you know, I really feel like our customers feel super confident that if they have a product feature request that they want, they can message whoever is tied to their account and say, hey, look, like, I have this functionality. I think it can stand to be benefited. Once we hear that enough times, it's like, okay, let's go ahead and make that correction. We'll notify the people that we did it. And they're like, okay, someone's listening here at Gorgeous. So I think all of that conspires to help you build that community, both the internal conversations you're having with your merchants, but also outwardly facing, doing things like webinars, being active on your social communities to really show them that you're there. And ultimately you're listening, and you're there to actually add value, not just, you know, participate.
Right. Yeah. I guess my big takeaway there is that to build a good community, you need to give a shit. It's more than just creating a Facebook page.
A few, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. And it's easy to say, you know, a lot of people have that goal. Everybody wants to build a community and connect with people. But it's another thing, as we know, to actually execute. And that's why, as I said, it's a big, big theme. You need dedicated people doing these things. You need them to have that as like a KPI or some part of their ownership, right? So it's hard to do in a startup company like that's super small, because everybody's wearing a million hats. You just got to run as fast as you can and see where you end up. But as you start to grow and you have the resources, you secure additional funding, you need to start to identify these key areas that you want to improve on, say building a community, you know, having a dedicated person in HR to make sure that your employees are happy. So it's just about making the right hires at the right time. And sometimes SaaS companies don't always do that. They're, you know, they're dedicating resources, you know, they're going all in on one area of the company, while meanwhile leaving other aspects of the company unattended to from a resource standpoint, right? So it's tough, but it's important to make sure that you're identifying the areas that need the most attention.
Yeah, that makes sense. Thank you.
Last two questions. Now, with Gorgeous, what do you think is Gorgeous doing right? And what challenges that Gorgeous is going through to get to where Gorgeous want to go?
Absolutely. So I think one thing that we're doing right is, and I've said it a few times, we're just listening. Like, we're not taking for granted any success we might have had. Like, we're very much like Tom Brady, who's my favorite athlete. It's like, we have some success, but it's like on to the next, right? It's like, okay, we hit the 5,000 merchant mark. Okay, like, let's, how can we get to 6,000 merchants successfully? So we're not getting fatter in success. We are always listening and humbling ourselves and trying to improve. So I think that's one thing that we're doing consistently, right? And then in terms of where we want to go, what we really want to do is grow with our merchants. And so we have, you know, for our larger enterprise level merchants, they have obviously sophisticated businesses. You know, they can be doing upwards of $1 billion in GMV each year. And so obviously their needs are quite sophisticated. And so while Gorgeous was designed more for the SMB mid-market initially, we're now starting to bring on a lot more clientele on the enterprise level, which obviously brings about incredible new challenges. They might have support staff of up to 100 support agents, and they might have multiple stores within their business. And so it's quite complex, as you would imagine. And so one thing that we realized quickly, it's like, okay, we need to level up our functionality within Gorgeous to make sure that we can support businesses who might only have, you know, a few support agents on their staff doing less than $1 million GMV, you know, all the way up until the companies who are doing, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars in revenue. So a big goal for us this year is, as we did all that research last year, as we talked about and understood where our customers need. And now it's all about implementing those product features to make sure that they can do everything. So for instance, we're building a native phone. We didn't have that before. And so that's something our larger customers really wanted, because they have teams, you know, they're on calls all day long. They really wanted a native phone that was, you know, could speak with Gorgeous's ticketing platform. And so we said, okay, we're going to invest a ton into building a native phone system, which we're really excited about. So to answer your question simply, really going after the needs of our top enterprise level customers to make sure that as they continue to scale, that they're not going to outgrow Gorgeous. We never want to feel like a customer had to leave us for another solution because we weren't scaling our functionality and product features fast enough to service them. So that's something we're taking very seriously this year.
And is there anything that, before I would ask you for action items, any advice, are there anything that we've missed that you want to share?
I guess just the value of partnership teams and channels. So I've been fortunate to work and have meetings with close to 100 different partners across the space over the last 4 months. You know, companies that have robust partnership channels in place and the companies that aren't there yet. Like, it's not that they don't care, it's just they haven't been there yet. And for us, I've seen firsthand how valuable a really great partnership network is. And so for our partnership team, we have agency partner managers across the globe, myself in the technical side of things. We have VCs, affiliates, event partner marketing managers. So I just want to convey the value of having a really great partnership program. And, you know, for us, it's close to 50% of our revenue comes through our partnerships channels, right? For our company, right? Marketing being the other big half of that as well. So I can't stress enough how important it is to start forming those partnerships. And it goes back to what you were saying, Corey, about the network effect, right? These, you know, partnerships, you know, we're literally the liaisons between our company and the world, right? And so it's important to have a great partnerships team who are champions and advocates for your brand. You're activating deals, you know, certainly top of funnel deals through those connections that you have. So I guess just one big tip I would say to SaaS companies in the space, certainly as they're starting out, is you know, get at least one partnership person on board who can start building that program up, because it's going to be incredibly important for you.
Nice. Partnership. Right. So then if we're able to really summarize everything that you shared, what are the three things that our audience or our listeners can take action on, learning from what you've said about customer satisfaction, listening to your customers?
Yeah, absolutely. So number one, and I'll say it again, you know, I come from an academic background, so it's not a surprise that I say this, but listen and understand what your customers want and need. Don't assume. This is like table stakes stuff that everybody knows about customer service, but, you know, certainly in the restaurant industry, they know this. But listen, don't assume. Track information accurately. I mean, it doesn't matter what SaaS offering or company you are. Listen to what your customers are, but don't just listen and then do nothing with it. Track it down. Take it seriously. Figure out what goals really matter, and then set those as company-wide goals to achieve, and then assign ownership to a team or a specific person within the company to be responsible for assessing the performance of that goal being achieved. That's number one. And then number two, I would say, is invest in hiring people within your company to, you know, really go to the next level. So for us, we know we needed to increase our functionality in our product. And so we've doubled down on hiring our product and engineering team. So if you're a company out there and you're looking to really level up, you need to know where to put the resources. And so really thinking carefully about how you're going to allocate resources, both in the hiring side, but also improving your product. And if you're a merchant listening, that also means understanding where you're going to be headed over the next 12 months and forecasting that, getting ahead of the game in terms of hiring out your staff to make sure that you're not going to hit a roadblock. And then number three, I probably already said five things, but I'll just add one more. Would be to just educate yourself just in general. This is something that I firmly believe. For me, I'm driven by evolution and growth. And so I know we're all super busy. We have a million meetings every day. And when you do have a free moment, you just want to go on your phone or play with your dog. But just continuously, you know, humble yourself and educate yourself and absorb, you know, the great content that's available, not just reading headlines on articles and stuff like that. So become familiar with the unfamiliar to you, challenge yourself, get outside of your comfort zone. You know, for me personally, I'm new to the e-commerce space. I just joined in September. And so for me, I'm taking every opportunity I can to just learn, listen to webinars, podcasts like this one, and just continue to ask good questions. And yeah, that's basically it.
I'm writing down everything you said, but what I really liked, the main thing is like humble yourself. I guess like if you want to learn, right? Like you have to be humble, have this hunger as well that you don't know. There's a lot that you don't know.
We've been talking to some really interesting people over the past kind of few weeks, and automation has come up a lot, but you're the first one to also throw in personalization, which is important. Maybe that's even more important for a company that's scaling more, but that's a good balance there. Of course, it's important to automate, but also personalize. It's like, this is not just about customer service, but I really just about staying, like Nash said, staying humble, but also learning. Like it's not just about, you know, reading a blog post about how to be better at customer service. I don't know, like you just got to be into it.
Yeah, it has to be everything, right? I mean, for us, that is everything. So we're continued learning. Like we do webinars literally internally to our teams to educate them on everything else that's going on. So it's just education across the board, right? So
just one more thing before we wrap up. I'm quite surprised that Chris actually said personalization coming from a huge, huge team. Then I'm like, wow, you still have this mindset of personalization. Cause I would imagine like you would already have like a set of process for everything or how like people would make decisions when handling like complaints from customers or whatever. But like having this mindset that no, like every customer is different and what their need is different and how you show up to them. It's kind of like you have to meet them where they are, if I'm right.
You do. Yeah, you absolutely do. You hit it on the head. Personalization is everything to me. It's all about being authentic, right? We all know people that they listen to you, but they're not really listening to you, right? You can kind of tell that they're just kind of that, you know, giving you, you know, lip service and they're whatever. But so for me, I always take note of people who are great listeners. That's something I'm always trying to become better at. My fiance will tell you that I've gotten better since we've known each other, but she's a phenomenal listener. And so, you know, we very much adopt that philosophy, of course. It's one thing to just listen, but it's another thing to actually take note of what's being said and putting it into action. And that's something I would definitely say that Gorgeous is phenomenal at. And it's a reason that we're continuously growing the rate we are.
So one last question. So where can our audience find you if they want to learn more about Gorgeous?
Yeah, absolutely. So they can find us at gorgeous.com. If you want to reach out to me at chris@gorgeous.com, Chris with a C. I was the first Chris, so I was lucky to get that email. Feel free to reach out to me anytime. Definitely can answer any questions you might have. Might even be able to get you set up with a special offer to try Gorgeous out. So yeah, happy to connect with anybody. You can also check me out on LinkedIn.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Customer Satisfaction Project. We hope that this episode has given you new insights and introduced fresh perspectives in looking at customer service. If you find this helpful, I'm sure your friend will too. Share this with your friends. Don't keep us a secret. And don't forget to follow or subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you're listening to this. The Customer Satisfaction Project is hosted by Nash Maiwala and Corey Brown. This podcast is brought to you by SimpleSat, the customer feedback system that works. Check them out at simplesat.io to get your 14-day free trial. This show is produced by PodcastMate, producing podcasts for iconic brands and market leaders. Head on over to podcastmate.co to start your own podcast. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch up with you on the next episode.